I'd like to ask you to begin today by turning in your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We read these verses last week as we closed, and I want to begin here today. Let's pick it up here in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "See that you walk circumspectly." And again, that's diligently and deliberately. It's a purposed walk. And the walk is something you're looking to do exactly right. You know, when you have a job to do, you need to do it exactly right sometimes, or it just doesn't work. He's saying, walk circumspectly. Put your attention to this. Focus on the way that you're walking. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Okay, so I want you to notice the contrast. If you don't redeem the time, it's just going to default to evil, right? That carnal mind is enmity against God. If you're not walking circumspectly and focusing on walking in the Spirit, what will happen? You're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, okay? So last week we were talking about the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh, and how it is walking in the Spirit that we overcome the works of the flesh. We must be focused on God. Flesh cannot overcome flesh. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. No amount of carnal pressure, no amount of carnal effort will bring about the holiness of God. It is walking in the Spirit that changes us. So sometimes the works of religion, as it speaks of in Colossians chapter 2, sometimes it can go through works of religion. Do not taste, do not touch, do not handle. He says, these have a self-imposed religion, but they're really of no effect against indulgence of the flesh. And if you have struggled with trying to overcome in your own life through the flesh, you know what this is. You continually fall back into the same sins over and over and over. And that is something that should go off in our heads and say, we need you, God. We need to be in the Spirit. We need a different mind and heart and approach to this, because what is in the flesh will not overcome the flesh. But that is the way we go by default. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." I want you to think about what you just read in terms of a contrasting walk, because he relates that we need to be walking circumspectly. He contrasts being foolish and being wise. He contrasts walking in the evilness of the world or in the wisdom of the will of God. And he contrasts being drunk with wine or being filled with the Spirit that causes you to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another. It almost seems, when you look at it in the flesh, out of place. Why did he make the point that being filled with the Spirit has to do with speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Why is he making the point in this? Now, I want you to think about even what it is to be drunk for a moment. You know, it's interesting when you go to shops, they'll say wine and spirits, right? Spirits. Because if you drink and become drunk, what effect does it have on you, the person? Is it not a change? Does not the Spirit change your personality? The quiet person becomes the life of the party. The kind person becomes a grump. You know, it seems to bring out strange things in people. You know, they say there's the happy drunk or the angry drunk, right? There's different effects. Some people just, like, are oblivious to everything. They just don't know where they are or what they're doing. Some are awake in it, some pass out in it. Drunkenness has an effect on the heart, the mind, the spirit. It alters behavior. And the thing is, when you are getting drunk and putting alcohol into your body, it's going to have an effect. At a certain point, the alcohol kicks in, and the more alcohol you put in, the greater effect that it's going to have. So having a drink, you know, even Jesus was called a wine bibber. He drank wine. But he didn't drink to excess. He didn't drink to drunkenness. But he drank. The Bible talks about having a glass of wine. But here's the thing. Having a glass won't affect the spirit, but being filled with it will make you drunk with it. Now, I go through this because we see how this works. Somebody has a beer, no problem. They have a six-pack, problem. Right? A little bit, no problem. A lot, completely changed person. Now, I want you to think about it on the other side spiritually. Because if he is making the contrast here, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. That means it's like an over excess of what you're doing. It's filling you up. Being drunk is filling you up in an excess of what's bad. But rather, he says, be filled with the Spirit. How do you drink of the Spirit? How do you become filled with the Spirit? How do you become full of God's Spirit? He's making the contrast of having a drink and getting drunk, or drinking in of the Spirit. How? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Drunk in the Spirit, filled to excess with the Spirit, that what flows out of your heart and your mind is more of God. Now, I did not know what this was early in my life. I grew up in a family that was musically inclined. My mother was, by profession, a piano teacher. She taught children music. And two of my sisters have businesses. Their whole careers have been teaching people music. My oldest sister, Lynn, has a website, and she has all this music, and she travels all over the world teaching teachers how to teach music to kids. She has camps. She's devoted her life to music, and her own children are at school on musical scholarships, you know, to very fine universities and schools. And it's part of life, and I grew up around music. I don't remember when I didn't know about music. We were listening to things, you know, my brother was always playing The Who in the 70s, as growing up as a little baby, so I know all the Who songs. I asked, my wife just found out who The Who was, and I'm like, oh, it's like, I can sing all their songs. They're all in my head. But the same would be said of so many hymns that I heard as a child. Growing up, going to a Lutheran school, going to church every week faithfully. Even when we're on vacation, we found a place to go and worship. And the hymns and the songs, they were there. But the thing is, the way you sing a song in the flesh might be energizing. Can energize your spirit in a positive or negative way. You know, some songs make you happy when you hear them, right? Whether, I'm just talking about carnal songs. They can make you happy. They can make you sad, right? You hear a certain opera or tunes, and boy, they can have a powerful emotional impact when you hear the music, just listening to the way it's played. When you listen to songs that are more rocky and violent, you will have a more aggressive spirit. There was a guy I met many years ago, and he had a band, and he made the claim that he could start a bar fight anytime he wanted to. Just by playing the right music, he could make the people aggressive, and he could start one. And so if they wanted to calm it down, things got a little rough, just play the other kind of music, soften things up a little bit, make people a little lighter, change their spirit by the music that's being played. There's a powerful impact of spirit. And if you have observed in yourself or in others, it is music that touches spirit and changes attitude and heart. That's why if you go to watch a movie, it's not enough just to have the pictures and the dialogue. What is constantly going on? You probably don't even realize how often it's going on. But when you sit to watch a movie, there is music almost constantly throughout. There's an action scene, they're playing action music. Why? They want to rev you up. They want to get you excited. Something sad's happening on screen? Sad music. They want you to feel the emotion of the spirit of what you're watching, and music will induce this. So it's a very powerful and interesting thing that we read about in Scripture that it says that when you want to be filled up, being filled with the Spirit, we're not drinking the alcohol to be drunk, but we're drinking in of God's Spirit, and we do that by imbibing in praise, in songs of thanks, in hymns, in praise. We're coming before Him. Now notice this again. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So as I said, when I started to see this in my own life, there was something very distinct that I realized. My wife had brought home a CD of music for me to listen to. And I was against it because it didn't fit my tradition in terms of the hymns and the things that I wanted to listen to. And the CD had simple songs that were more modernly written, but it was on guitar music, just acoustic worship, praising God. And though I was resistant at first, as I listened, I was amazed at hearing a spiritual song that I could agree with, that I saw the validity of it, that I could sing and praise to these songs in a way that I didn't see before. Where I had stood in church and I sang the song, I went through the motions of singing, there wasn't a connection there to God and the Spirit that was leading me to what I would call a place of worship and intimacy. I was doing it to fulfill a practice, but the impact of it wasn't touching my heart and my mind and my spirit. And as I began to see what God was working in my life was to break down a hardness to intimacy and worship with God that He wanted to be present within me. And it began to open up many things simply by coming before God and realizing I needed to give Him my heart in worship. You see, this it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In your heart. It's not just enough to just sing a song like you're sitting around a campfire or you're just going through the motions of singing something without thinking about it. But when you believe what you're saying, and when you believe what you're saying, and it's drawing from your own experience before God, you are opening yourself up to Him, sharing what you have, what you see, where He is, where the blessings are. Opening yourself up to show God the things that you hurt over, the things that burden your heart, the things that touch your heart, that make you see God in a way that is very personal and intimate. You know, as you talk about becoming a witness of God, as we think about being filled with the Spirit to witness, it is being able to share with God in song the things that He has done. As you look throughout the Scriptures, what we find is songs being recorded. God delighting and recording in His Word the songs of people who have praised Him. Songs of people who have poured out themselves to Him when they saw His greatness. When they saw Him. You see, it's one thing to know that God exists, but it is another thing to believe in who He is and believe in the love that He has for you. And what the expression is in song, in spiritual songs, and in hymns, when they are sung from the heart, it should be a reflection of what you see of God in your life. And when we sing together and we come here to worship and we begin our service with worship, entering His courts with thanks and praise, it is sharing in common the bond that we have in Jesus Christ. Now try before God, we look through songs and we are saying, what is common in our experience in the worship of God? What is common in our experience that we can sing about? And even common in seeing, maybe you didn't specifically go through it, but even when you read in the Psalms, you hear the heart of a person, David, so often, seeking God in an intimate way, showing God his heart, and always resolving, God, you're awesome. God, you're great. God, I see you. God, it's for your glory. God, it's for your honor. God, I can't help but sing. And there is something that, like a drunk who will go for drink after drink after drink, wanting to continue to be filled, as you sing from your heart in praises to God, it's like, I want another. I want to be filled more. I need to sing more. I can't help but praise you, God. Now, as you think about this throughout making melody in your heart to the Lord, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things, you hear the constancy in that. Giving thanks always in all things. It comes from having God at the forefront of your mind where you worship Him. And as you begin your day with praise, with singing, with rejoicing, that constancy of just continuing to worship Him, to pray without ceasing, and in song, making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, walking in the Spirit requires putting our attention on the things that are above. Not where we are on the earth, but putting your attention where God is and seeing things the way God does. That requires that we draw near to Him, that we have a perspective like His. It comes from being close. It comes from an intimacy of worship. It comes from an intimacy of contemplation and looking at God and seeing. When we look in the Scriptures, I think David is a person that God said is a man after His own heart. He shared a heart with God. God knew His heart was for him. And even though David had sinned and did terrible things, God knew his heart when he was shown sin, when he saw the error of his way. He was a man who would look to turn. But David, from his youth, when he would be out as a shepherd, he was looking to the heavens and he was contemplating God. Never underestimate the power of simply looking up at the sky at night, or looking upon a stream, or sitting by it, or meditating on the greatness of God. It's from this all life is born. Because it all flows from God. And when you look and examine God, you begin to come alive. You begin to let go of the things of the flesh and the things of this world, and your heart is on worship, set on Him. To let go of the things of the flesh and to elevate the things that are of Him. I want you to notice, this is just from the book of Psalms. All these Psalms that we read. And what I did, I just chose some verses here. I don't even remember how many I have, but it's probably around 50 verses or so. But notice his declarations. I will sing praise to the name. I will be glad and rejoice. I will sing. Notice the command, verse 9:11. Sing praises to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. I will sing. Yes, I will sing to the Lord. I will give thanks at the remembrance of your holy name. The instruction. Why did he keep saying, sing? Sing praise to the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 3. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Verse chapter 47. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Now we look at these verses and somehow our minds want to trick us into saying, well, I don't
know if that really applies to me. I don't know if I like songs. I don't know if I like singing. You know, there's almost no subject that tears churches apart like music. The thing is, style, it almost doesn't matter to me. If I was in India and they had an Indian style of worship that's not like mine, I can still worship with that. Because it's not about what I'm hearing them play or the beat or the rhythm as much as it is what I'm doing. See, when David was speaking these words, it wasn't just from a command of singing, of shouting in terms of, come on, guys, you got to work it up in the flesh. Let's get it going. And trying to work it up. Where did his praise come from? Where did the singing come from? Where did the thanksgiving come from? It was because it was focused on God. You want to sing loudly? You don't have to raise your voice. Just start looking. Look in the heavens. Look at who God is. Look at the work of His hands. Look at the salvation. Look at the way He has worked in your life. Note the witness in yourself. And let that be the energy of praise. It's from the heart. Praying in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. They come together. Where is the Spirit within us leading us to sing praises, to rejoice? You realize what a holy and sanctified thing it is when we come here to a service. It is to give glory to God on high as His children gather in a place to sing in unison with hearts together before Him. I want you to think what that is for a father. What that is for a Savior who paid for our life. And what they receive as God the Father, as Jesus the Savior, when the saints come in the Spirit that God gives us. And we just pour out our praise and thanks. We see what He has done. And we can thank and we can praise, and we can open ourselves up to who He is and just be so honest before Him. What delight God takes in the praises of His people. What delight God takes in the works of His people who praise Him and sing to Him and honor Him. I want you to think about the impact that singing has on your heart. I personally found that the more I spend time in worship, the closer I draw to God, the greater impact it has on my living, on my walking in the Spirit. Because the focus and attention of living a godly life separate from sin is not about seeing what the flesh can do against our flesh, but seeing what God will do against our flesh in overpowering it and overcoming it and bringing it into submission, subduing the very lusts that want to rear up when we are not in His Spirit. When you are willing to praise God, you are saying at the very most intimate and open way, I believe You exist. You're not going to be singing to a God you don't believe exists. If you don't believe in God, you're not going to be singing hymns or praises to Him. Very elementary faith. I believe that You exist. But as you sing of the things that David said, you are also saying in faith, but I know it's not just that You exist, it's who You are. I see the majesty of Your power, the beauty of Your holiness, the amazing creative nature of all that is within You. I see the righteousness, the compassion. I see the mercy, the tenderness of care, the love. I see these things, and I gotta sing. I gotta worship You. I've got to pour out to you, God, because I can't contain within me and hold tight what I see of you. Now, as you continue to walk in this way, you realize that these are the very foundational beliefs that must be in your heart to cause you to forsake the ways of the world and embrace the ways of God. It's elementary in your spirit. And if it's not present, if you're not living in the Spirit, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you're not living in the Spirit, if you're not praying in the Spirit, if you're not worshiping and singing in the Spirit, you're missing out on the depth of relationship that comes when you simply look at God. Walking in the Spirit, it's not brain surgery. It's coming before God with simplicity, with a heart of worship and adoration. And notice what it says here again in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That heart of humility is born out of a humility before God. What is it that causes Greg Beagle or Garrett Reed or Sarah Reed or Carolyn Sharpen or any number of you I could name in this room to make sacrifices for people, to lay down your money, your time, your energy, your efforts to serve? It's born out of walking in the Spirit. It's born out of a life to serve. Their hearts are to serve, and therefore they serve. Their hearts are to look and say, what can I do to help you on your path? That is the heart that God has. The heart of salvation, deliverance, encouragement, help, comfort. Even the words of correction and the harshness of God's chastening is always about how can I help you in your walk and path. And worship of God is essential to have this Spirit. Turn with me over to Colossians 3. I mentioned these verses earlier about setting your mind on things above. It says, if you were raised, Colossians 3:1, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. And notice the mindset. It's so foundational. And this is what worship does. When you give your heart to God in singing and praising and prayer, meditation before Him, when we come together, what we are looking to do is seeking the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand, setting our minds on things above, not on things of the earth, realizing we have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. So as we come here to sing and we begin to worship and praise, everything of our heart should be, oh God, praise You that You live and rule and reign on high. I praise You that my life is hidden in Christ. I have died to the things of the world and You are my God and I will worship You. That's the heart that will bring about worship and praise in this room. But that heart is not just for this room. That is a heart that needs to be developed daily. Singing, praising, making melody in your heart, being filled up daily. Are you spending time in the times of prayer and meditation simply singing with delight and melody in your heart to the Lord? There is something about the music, the way God made it, that can change the heart. You remember when Saul, when the Spirit of God departed from him and it said the Lord sent a troubling spirit? It was David who had God's Spirit who came and played the harp. And when David played the harp, it said that the troubling spirit departed from Saul. Just the melody of what he played. A melody before God. A melody with a divine purpose. Don't discount how valuable this can be in your own life. Don't discount how valuable song and worship, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs can be in the development of your walk with God. Because Paul said, it's how you are filled with the Spirit. It's one way, speaking to one another, singing and making melody in your heart. So Colossians 3, now over in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Did you hear that? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Very similar to what it says there in Ephesians, right? Don't walk as fools, walk as wise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So the instructions He gave to those at Ephesus, He gives to those at Colossae. And He is saying, let it dwell in you richly, that you would bless others and give to others. But notice it says, teaching and admonishing one another. You thought about how songs teach and admonish? Why is it so important to go through worship? Why is it so important to sing? You know, it's almost, again, the effect that a movie can have in the sense that the music, like David played the harp, can change the spirit. But now if you put an image with the music, it gets even more powerful. And when you add word to it, it's even more powerful yet. The word, the vision, the music, it begins to build things that are solid. I want you to think about this in terms of prayer, because really singing and praising and worshiping and teaching and admonishing and song is what we read about in Jude when he said, build up your most holy faith praying in the Spirit. Singing in the Spirit is the same thing. It's building up your most holy faith. It's confirming, I believe that you exist, God. I know that you are there for me. I trust in who you are. My life is hid with you. My attention is on you. I let go of the things of the world and I put my heart on you. And so when David was saying, sing, he says, verse chapter 59, 16, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. There's teaching and admonishment in the very phrase we just read. Because when one is praising and one is thinking about God and singing of His mercy, you are acknowledging God and you're acknowledging His mercy. And it's teaching you in your heart about who God is. And the praises that go to Him. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Notice, to you, O my strength, I will sing praise, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. Why do I sing to Him? He's my defense, my God of mercy. You are building up your most holy faith in who God is through singing and praising. And you're taking the melody, you're taking the vision, the things that you've seen in your life, and now you're speaking back to God who He is. You know, God spoke and the earth existed. You realize there is something about a word of faith that you, when you speak of who God is in your heart, it sets it. And the more you sing and praise and recognize who God is, you build up that holy faith. So as you are out working in your garden or in your business or in your marriage or when you're thinking of this, when your heart is being filled with praises for God, you're allowing Him to be involved in who you are and what you're doing. The just shall live by faith. The just look to God in everything. The just see Him as the provider, the protector, the deliverer, the one who stands on our behalf. He is the shield. He is the buckler. He is the God who is worthy of praise. And what so often happens is we can take our minds off of God and we can get back in the flesh and we start looking at things of flesh and evaluating it in the flesh and we try to work it out, and what we simply need to do is stop and turn our attention to God with singing and praising. singing and praising, redirecting our hearts, redirecting our spirits, redirecting our minds to God. It is in a spirit of worship that we walk in success. Why do you think the great commandment that God gave us is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul? As Spurgeon say, your mind, your spirit. Think about it. He's saying all of you. It's not just your intellect, it's your emotions too. It's your coming in, it's your going out, it's your rising up, it's your sitting down. Being consumed with God, the worship of Him, the adoration of Him, the commitment to Him to say, I care about the things that you care about. That's what love is, isn't it? Isn't that what makes for success in any relationship of love? That you're thinking about the other person, you're thinking about what they care about, you're thinking about how can I be a blessing to you? How can I help you? What are the things that you're working on that I can be of service to you on? Everything is that heart of service, that attitude of love. And God wants it to be on Him. And here's the thing. When we put our attitude on serving Him, He does a most delightful thing. He puts His attitude of service on us. And He creates in us wondrous things. You know, it says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro upon the whore, looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? God is looking to show Himself strong on your behalf. When you give your heart to Him. You know, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. We talked about how they come and enter in through prayer. The same is true through worship. God reveals a lot through worship. How many of you in praising God, in any time in your life, have received revelations of Him or revelations of things to come? Look at that. Everybody should be seeking that. Everybody should be seeking to know God's heart and mind. Why settle for less when you know what's available? Why settle for something short of hearing from God? We sang that psalm today, and we sang, oh Lord, I long to hear Your voice. We're here with open hearts. That's a song we should sing from the heart and look and expect God, help me. You may not hear an audible voice. You may not hear anything. But looking for God to give you revelations and insight that you see and know the things of God. It's available. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that He will bless you. Expect more from Him when you come after Him. He's a God who is generous. And really what I'm saying, expect, I'm saying believe. Believe there's more. That God has a greater relationship He wants to enter in with all of us. So teaching and admonishing one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so notice just all the praises that are just in these psalms alone and the instructions to sing out, to sing praises to God. Chapter 68, sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord. Selah. And your faithfulness, chapter 71, oh my God, to you I will sing with the harp. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Sing a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Psalm 104, verse 33. Do you see the heart that God is sharing with us of what He desires in the relationship? the biggest book in the Bible is a book of songs. Doesn't that alone say something about God's attention to the details and the number of songs that He records from His servants? I want to finish by having you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's a time in the life of Jehoshaphat that three nations, the nations of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir, came against him. And they came to destroy him. And in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. When you are in trouble, do you run to God? Do you run like he did? So they gathered together and they came to seek the Lord, verse 4. Verse 5, he came into the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, which is Yah, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes against us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, and they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. And friends, God has given you a possession to inherit. He has given you life in Jesus Christ. And there will always be enemies that will come and stand against you. But you need to know where salvation comes from. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down every argument, and bringing every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. That is where we battle, friends. We battle in the mind. The battle is for the thought. The battle is for the heart. And here is how the battle is won. So the Spirit came upon, and this is verse 14, Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and said, listen, all you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high, because they believed the message of the prophet who said, this is God's battle. You know, God sends out. Remember, he sent to Jericho, but they marched and they shouted. Do you remember at the sea, he said, stand still and see the salvation. And he parted the Red Sea, and they went through and they saw the enemy destroyed. And what did they do? They sang a song of deliverance, because Yahweh was a man of war. Yahweh delivered them. God smote their enemy and they saw it. And all they had to do was walk in faith and obedience, and God fought the battle. And the reality is, God is the same today in your life. When you find yourself in troubles, when you find yourself in brokenness and in depressions, when you find yourself going through the midst of painful sorrows, know that God has not left you. It is in these things He is refining you. He is causing you to turn to Him in faith. He is causing you to look to Him with patience, to know that He is God. And He wants to be God in our lives. And that He alone
has the power to save and deliver. He alone has the power to lift us on high. He is God Almighty, worthy of praise and honor for all our days. And our lives should be committed that no matter what we see, we praise God because we have set our minds not on the flesh or the things of this world. We set our minds on the kingdom of God where God is and where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And we have left ourselves in His care and His providence. Guys, we can look at the world and see how bad it is. We can see the corruption in the politics. We can see the wars, the famines that are man-made. We can see the problems of this world, but our life is hidden with God. And that is where it is, and that is why we praise Him. Because He is God in all things. And all of this, all things will be resolved. Because Jesus Christ died to reconcile all things to God the Father. He is coming again. Our King will return. He will reign. We are celebrating Him. And the glory that is in God's throne will be on this earth. And there will be a time where there will be no more war. Where the people will serve. Where they won't lord authority as the Gentiles do. But as God's servants will serve every person with the love of God, teaching the ways of God, showing who He is. And this is what gives you inspiration to sing. Because He's God. He's glorious. I shout, hallelujah! Because He is God. And we stand as champions together in victory because of who Jesus Christ is. And this is done by the Spirit. I don't have to make this up. I'm not doing this. It is God in me. He fills me. He causes me to love Him. And I must proclaim to you, God is awesome. He is filled with love. He wants to come in and invade your life for holiness, righteousness, and goodness. This is what walking in the Spirit is. Friends, there is a revival going on. Will you be part of it? It is not of me or of my will. It is of Almighty God. I cry out to you because I plead. Some of you's hearts are so hard. Open your heart to God. See what is happening in the Spirit. God is moving. He's moving and He's wanting you to be a part of it. Those of you who are visiting, I'm sorry for the shouting. I know it's scary to come to a place you've never been and hear something like that. But the reality is, God is calling out. Do you see? The light is going to shine in the darkness. And it's going to happen in our hearts first. He is so worthy of praise. With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, let it be to God. Because He is God worthy of honor. In everything, let His name be high. He is seeking a heart of worship. And so they heard this by faith. And they went out. And what did they do? He consulted, verse 21, the people and appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, alleluia, for His mercy endures forever. Have you ever seen of such an army? An army weak in power according to the flesh. An army that was no match for the enemy. And when they go out, they go out singing. Could you imagine our forces doing that today? They go out singing. Because the nation and the King sought God. That's how we go out, friends. We go out singing. We go out praising. We go out worshiping. Because God has this battle for us. And He sends us out into positions. He makes us ready. He puts us out there to watch. But what we see is Him. All ministry is simply that. Putting yourself in the position of obedience to God. To watch what He does. And to be there. And notice verse 22. So now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. And the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to kill them and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place, what did they see? Overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Utterly. When did he start to do this? It says, when the Lord heard them singing and giving praise, sow to the heavens, and you will reap in abundance on this earth. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And that is also God's way. When He battles on your behalf, He not only defeats the enemy, but He gives you a blessing that is left behind to pick up. Do you think they ever thought when the armies came, this is great news because God's going to make us rich? That God's going to give us this blessing of spoil? But that is exactly the way God saw it. We look at our trials so often and we get afraid, and sometimes we try to battle them in the flesh. Sometimes we try to go through even battling our own sinful nature in the flesh. It's in the spirit that it's done. God will change you. He will transform you. Take the pressure off yourself that somehow you are the creator. You're the clay. Worship the master potter. Worship Him who forms the clay. Put your mind and attention on Him, and He will form and shape you, and He will stand and not only deliver you from sin, but He will bless you with the righteousness that is from on high. He will bless you. Let's worship Him.